by the end of this week, I had spent enough time with the text and trying to figure out how to make them relevant to where we are today. And I never really succeeded, but this is where I got to. I wound up spending some time thinking about what it would be like if Christianity essentially disappeared off the globe. It's a little bit of a leap. And all we had left were a collection of sermons from different people. That was what people tried to recreate Christianity off of. And that scared me, because as a preacher, I know that my sermons are not always like Jesus. There's a gap there, and that's fine. That's why you have to put up with me every week. That's why I'm happy when other people are here to try and make sense of the tradition we've inherited and the faith we all hold together. Thinking this way, though, because I think that's what happens with Proverbs. We have this beautiful song, if you appreciate Hebrew poetry especially, and it's really quite gorgeous, about a woman of valor, a good wife that everyone is searching for. And we've forgotten that there were more things around that than just the snippet we received. People have started to treat it almost like a checklist, when really it's more of a list of examples, something every preacher I've ever listened to or read, and I know I do it myself, uses, because we've been taught that this is helpful to have concrete examples. But that doesn't make them binding. It's an invitation for us to look further into the world that's being portrayed here and try and figure out what ties all of these together or how they're connected, to sort of spread the text apart a little bit and look for more in it. This woman of valor, if you went down the entire list, I'm not really sure she ever sleeps, because she's always getting up early to take care of her family and staying up late to finish the household chores after a full day of some pretty busy entrepreneurship. And I don't think that's what we're supposed to do. I'm not willing to do it because I like my sleep, but I think there's a greater call to look at what all of this might mean apart from a checklist. And if you read it again and start thinking about it as a list of examples, or even if you want to take up a fictional character who actually did all of this and never slept and was just about perfect, although I'm not sure she ever does housework either, so it's really funny when you start looking at it like this. There are things that tie all of this together. Everything on that list would be good individually, or if you group them in smaller ways. They're all public actions. They're all things that are a part of how this person interacts with her family and her community. They're all things that other people would notice. It says nothing about how often she prays or if she goes to temple. She would have been a Jew. If she goes to church today. There are holes in this story that people might not have noticed if you're just watching someone go about their week-to-week life. But taken together as a list, it's very impressive, because it says something about how she relates to the rest of the world around her. It says something about the kind of person who would do those things. We've sort of inherited also in our language a tradition of saying, well, that person is a gentleman, or she was a real lady. That's the kind of person we're talking about, the person other people would note and hold up as an example. Except we're talking about someone who is motivated not by the kind words of others, and we all know there are people out there who are motivated mostly by that, or motivated mostly for money. The money is sort of incidental in the story, although it gets mentioned a couple times. We're talking about someone who's motivated by faith, who understands what Jesus is saying later to his disciples, who have, again, sort of wandered away from maybe what they should be doing ideally, they're such good people, those disciples. So very true to how we actually live. When they are arguing about who is greatest among them, he reminds them that it's about how you treat the people in your world. And that in how we act, people look at us and are called into remembering that we are people who believe in God and follow Jesus. Whether that's in how we care for our families, how we behave at work, or any of the other things that list in Proverbs talks about. Not in an invitation to us to develop our own checklist or schemas to try and perfect our outward behavior, but to remind ourselves that our outward behavior must be fueled by a love of God. So that when people look at us, they know that we are somehow special and unique, and that we have reflected that back onto them. Because God loves all of us. Even when we're not crossing everything off the checklist. Amen.